Good evening, Oakleaf Baptist Church. It is great to be able to spend another evening with you studying God's Word. We're going to look at the book of Esther here again tonight, and I'm excited about this study that we're doing here as we dive into Esther chapter 3. If you have your copy of God's Word, I want to encourage you to go ahead and get that copy out, whether you use your phone or tablet or if you have a written copy. Man, get it out and let's take a look at the Scriptures tonight. But before we do, let's go to the Lord with a word of prayer. Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for how good you are to us. Thank you for the great opportunity to be able to meet through this virtual aspect of ministry that we can communicate with one another the Word of God and we can learn more about the Scriptures. I pray that tonight as we study your Word, you speak to our hearts, guide and direct our hearts as we listen to what the Word of God has to say and learn of the historical context that fits in behind it. Father, I pray that you would just guide and direct us, be with us as we deal with the pandemic that's all around us. I pray that you would just ease our hearts right now, calm our minds, and let us for the next 20 minutes or so just focus on you. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, listen, get your copy of God's Word. You ready? We're going to do our books of the Bible to the book of Esther. You ready? We're going to start in Genesis. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther. Now listen, we've been through Esther 1, Esther 2, and now we're in Esther 3. Tonight we're going to pick up on Esther 3, chapter 3, and we're going to start in verse 11. So find your copy of God's Word and look that up. We're going to start here. And the king said unto Haman, the silver is given to thee, the people also, to do with them as it seemeth good to thee. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, and there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants, and to the governors, and that were with every province, and to the rulers of every people of every province, according to the writing thereof. And to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus, was it written and sealed with the king's ring. And the letters were sent by post in all the king's provinces to destroy, to kill, and to cause perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day, even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoils of them for a prey. Verse 14 says, the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, that they should be ready against that day. The post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given to Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city Shushan was perplexed. So let's dive into the Word of God tonight. We'll start out in verse 11 as we study these few verses here in Esther. So as we look in the Scriptures, we see in verse 11, the Bible says, and the king said unto Haman, the silver is given thee, the people also, to do with them as seemeth good to thee. Ahasuerus appears to have put a great deal of confidence in Haman. Now remember, verse 10, just the verse before that, as we studied in our last lesson, in that verse, we see that the king takes the ring off of his finger and he hands it to Haman, and Haman takes that ring. And with doing so, the king is showing that he has a great deal of trust, admiration, love, and friendship with Haman, that he would actually let Haman speak in Ahasuerus the king's stead. So as we look in this passage of Scripture, we see in verse 11, the king says to Haman, listen, you do as you see fit, what you see is good. Here's the ring, take care of it. And so Haman does that. Now, when you consider this, I want you to consider that Haman is going to be put in a position where he can obligate the king to this decree because he has that ring. Once it gets put in the law, it cannot be turned around. Remember, we studied this early in our lesson. When the king decreed something, it was law and that was it and it couldn't change. This is how Vashti ended up being vanquished as the queen. So now we see the king is making another decision in his life in haste and with limited information. And in this decision, he is going to put the whole nation of Jews at risk. Let's look at verse 12. The Bible says, then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month, And there was written according to all that Haman had commanded unto the king's lieutenants and unto the governors and that were in the province, and to the rulers of every people of every province according to the writing thereof, and to every people after their language, in the name of the king Ahasuerus was it written and sealed with the king's ring. Now, when we look at this next verse, we see that Haman begins to, he calls in all the scribes to be able to write out all these letters. Now remember, there's about 127 provinces spread out all over this kingdom of Persia. They're going to write these letters to all these provinces to let them know what is going on. As we see here in verse 12, we see that the day, as we studied in our last lesson, we see that the day that Haman had cast the lots to find out would be the best day for this to take place, he begins to unravel. He begins to lay out this plan based on the spirits and how they led him through the casting of lots and so forth. But there's an interesting point to be brought here. Look at the days. Then were the king's scribes called on the 13th day of the first month. Now, if you do some research, you can read after a gentleman by the name of Bishop Wadsworth. And this is what he says, very interesting. Bishop Wadsworth reminds us that the day that was picked here, the 13th day of the first month, get this now, you're going to lose your socks on this one. This day, 500 years later, would be the eve of the Passover. Think about that. What are the chances? Now listen, we all know God is involved. We all know that God is sovereign and God is working His plan here as He sees fit in the human history of mankind. But the day that Haman picked is the same day, 500 years later, of the eve of the Passover. You say, Bill, what's the significance of that? I want you to consider this. When the Jews themselves, this is what Wadsworth says, when the Jews themselves, aided by the heathen hands and the powers of darkness, sought to vanquish the Savior, and as the trembling Jews of Persia were delivered by God's goodness, so too by His goodness Satan himself was overthrown, and the Lamb that was slain did triumph at that time. Listen, what an amazing story that the significance of this day, 500 years later, would be the eve of the Passover. Now, mind you, this day is significant to all Jews. As we study this out, we find out, as we read here, it seems to be that there were dates set within Jewish culture that they memorialized this. And we're going to get into that here in a verse or two. But let's also look at what he says here in this passage of Scripture. This letter was penned and scribed out and sent to all the provinces. So we see that it is delivered all over the whole kingdom. Well, the other thing we see here is the letters were written in the language that people could understand. There were different languages. Now, I want you to think about the tremendous undertaking of 127 provinces. These scribes are writing these letters to these provinces, and not just in one language, but writing this decree in multiple languages. Now, I know some of you who've watched the whole study, your memory is clicking. It's saying, wait a second, languages? There was something about languages back in chapter 1. You're right. In Esther chapter 1, verse 22, we see that when the king sets out a decree that in the kingdom, part of that whole process of Vashti being removed as queen was that the kingdom, the households in the kingdom, would be sure to know the Persian tongue to be the proper tongue used in the home, because Persian men had married women from other countries. And what was happening is the tongue that the woman spoke was what was being taught to the children, and the household slaves and so forth were all using that the woman's tongue, because she was the one home all the time when the man was out doing business or at war or whatever he did. And as we see here in Scripture, in chapter 1, verse 22, not to reteach that lesson, but it was decreed that each home would make the Persian tongue the primary tongue learned. But we see here, several years later, in chapter 3, in verse, I believe it's 12, we see that this script that the scribes write out, this ruling, this decree, is not written only in the Persian tongue, but it's written in all the tongues that are known to these people so that everybody would understand clearly what is taking place. Let's look at verse 13. And the letters were sent by post in to all the king provinces to destroy. Listen to the decree now. Here it is. To destroy and to cause to perish all Jews, both young and old, little children and women, in one day. In one day. Even upon the 13th day of the 12th month, which is the month Adar, and to take the spoil of them for prey. So the decree here, in essence, is, listen, you as a Persian, one who lives in the Persian kingdom and resides here, you can kill women, Jewish children, Jewish men, you can, and whatever belongs to them, those ones that you kill, whatever belongs to them, you can take it for yourself. It's all yours. Not breaking any laws. It's all yours. That's what Haman is declaring to this kingdom. And by the way, if you look in verse 13 or verse 12, you'll see that this was done with the king's approval, the king's ring on this document, signifying that the king had approved this and this is law. As we see here, we see that in verse 13, it says, and the letters were sent out by post into all the king's provinces. Now, I think it's interesting. As I was studying, I learned that this word post is kind of a neat word. It says post, but it means so much more. I want you to think about the early days of America when the Pony Express began to be used. So these horseback riders would take mail and they would take their satchel and get on a horse and they would ride and ride and ride and ride. And they would ride for a certain distance, and then there would be a post where there would be more horses, some riders, and a place for that horseman to stop, get a fresh horse, and continue to ride. And every so many miles, the Pony Express had these posts, these stations, set out across the West where people could get their mail delivered by the system. And it was being done very quickly because they were doing this by horseback very rapidly. Now, in this passage of Scripture in verse 13, that term by post is the same intent, the same picture here. There were stables, there were stations set up throughout the Persian kingdom that a person on horseback could ride a certain distance, jump off of the horse that's tired, jump on a fresh horse and continue to ride so that this decree could get spread out through the whole kingdom as fast as possible. So as we look here, just a little kind of a little neat historical piece of information. This post is speaking of that delivery system of the mail or the king's decrees. Then we see what the decree is, and we see that the decree is upon the 13th day of the month. Remember, the 13th day of the month, 500 years later, is the eve of the Passover where Jesus Christ was crucified. As we look here, we see that along with verse 13, we not only see the posts that are set out across the kingdom, but we also see that even today, this idea of the 13th of the month is significant. In the Scriptures, they declare this date, the 13th day of the first month or the 12th month in the Scriptures. We see here that the Jews today, even to this day, celebrate by fasting on the 13th day of the 12th month. The month Adar is what it's called, and it'd be around March or April in our calendar system. But the 12th month for them is March or April. It's the month Adar. It means glorious. And in this month Adar, when this takes place, we see here in the Scripture, the 13th is still recognized even to this day as a day of fasting. And then on the 14th and 15th, they have a huge feast and they celebrate. So as we look here at verse 13, we see that this decree goes out, that it is spelled out very clearly, and the people of the Persian kingdom that kill off these Jews are able to take to themselves what the Jews own, the Jews' property. They can declare it for themselves, those Persian folks who killed them. Let's go to verse 14 and 15, and we'll close for tonight. The copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all the people, that they should be ready against that day, the 13th day of the month. Verse 15 says, the post went out, being hastened by the king's commandment, and the decree was given in Shushan the palace, and the king and Haman sat down to drink. But the city of Shushan was perplexed. As we look in verse 14 and 15, we see that what unfolds in this situation is the decree goes out, it begins to spread its way through the whole kingdom, and they tell people to prepare for that day, the 13th day of the 12th month, to be able to kill all the Jews. Now, we get into verse 15, we see it goes out hastened, it's fast. This is, they are really getting this thing communicated quick and clearly. But then we see it's given in Shushan, the palace, and we see an interesting thing at the end of the passage of Scripture in verse 15. Take a look here with me. And the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Shushan was perplexed. I want you to think about, while the king and Haman sat down to banquet, they sat down to drink and celebrate this decree that was going to attempt to murder every Jew within the Persian kingdom. They're celebrating, they're banqueting, they're drinking. But the Bible says something in verse 15. The people were perplexed. Look at the end of the verse there. The people of Shushan were perplexed. They are dumbfounded. Now, I want you to consider something. Jewish people that lived within the Persian kingdom, they were tradesmen. They were in the marketplace selling and purchasing goods. They owned property and were making payments on this property. And they were part of the fiber of the Persian kingdom. There were intermarriages here. There were deep friendships here that those Persian people had developed with the Jewish folks. Now, I want you to consider, we haven't even dove into the fact that Queen Esther is a Jew and the king is unaware of it, and she too is in danger of her life being taken. And while all this is happening, Haman and the king, Ahasuerus, they're banqueting, they're celebrating this moment. But the rest of the kingdom is reeling. They are brokenhearted. They're perplexed. They're confused. This doesn't make sense. Why in the world are we doing this? Now listen, folks, the lesson last week, the principle that I talked about, be careful about making hasty decisions, you know, make wise choices. You know, tonight's principle, I got to, as I was praying through this, James chapter 1, verse 14 and 15, the Bible says, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust conceiveth, it bringeth forth sin, and when sin is finished, it bringeth forth death. The wrong influence in your life will produce the wrong thoughts in your mind. The wrong thoughts in your mind will shape the desires of your heart. The way the desires of your heart are shaped are going to determine the things that you accumulate, the things that you go after. King Ahasuerus had someone that was influencing his thoughts, that in turn affected his wants, that in the end affected his actions. And his actions, his selfish actions, were going to put the Jewish nation in terrible, terrible detriment. Listen, folks, we do need to take the principles of the Scriptures very seriously, even in my own life. Boy, if I don't control what goes on in my mind, I know from Scripture, I know from experience, how many of us, me included, how many of us have let our minds dwell on something to the point where we begin to desire it, and we begin to desire it and take hold, and then eventually we take hold of it, and it's something that was not good for us. It was hurtful, not just to us personally. It was hurtful to even people around us that we loved. But because we let the wrong person influence our thoughts, which influenced our wants, which influenced what we accumulated, it ends up being destructive when we allow those things to be the things that we want instead of what God wants. Well, I'm telling you, folks, this is nothing new in my life. You know, Paul says there's a war that takes place within my flesh and my spirit. There's two natures battling, and I face it, and you face it. And as we do this, it is so important that as believers, we always strive to discipline ourselves to make sure that we are leveraging Christ in our life against the thoughts in our mind. That we make sure that the thoughts that we're having, we do everything in our power to try to make sure that those thoughts align with the kingdom of God and not the kingdom of ourselves. So listen, Ahasuerus made a really poor choice. Ahasuerus allowed somebody to influence him in the wrong direction, influence his thoughts, influenced what his heart desired, and then influenced what he did. And what he did was he put a death sentence out for the whole nation of Israel. What a bleak moment. Satan does everything he can to destroy God's kingdom. Time and time again in Scripture, we see he tries to take out all the Jews. We see that he tries to speculate what God's plan is through certain people, and he tries to get rid of those people. Listen, Satan didn't succeed. Jesus, 500 years later, comes to this earth, lives a perfect and sinless life. He's accused before mankind and put on a cross for crimes he did not commit. He was not guilty. And he hung there on the cross out of love for you and for me. He hung on the cross out of love for people who will never recognize him as their Lord and Savior. So that no one will stand before God with the excuse of Jesus didn't die for me. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is not one person that Jesus Christ did not pay for their sins on the cross. Everybody got payment on the cross for their sins. The problem or the issue is recognizing that we have sin, confessing our sin and asking Jesus to come into our life and forgive us, giving our lives to God to serve him. After we accept that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, he went to the cross for our sin. We can't save ourselves. Only Jesus can. Asking Jesus for forgiveness, letting him know that our hearts are broken over the sin that separated us from God the Father. And when we do this and Jesus comes into our life and saves us, forgives us for our sin, the Bible says we're reconciled with the Father. We now have a relationship and we can communicate and commune with God as a father does with his son, with his child. And God takes the Holy Spirit, and the Word of God teaches us that God gives the Holy Spirit as an earnest in our lives. You say, what's an earnest? An earnest is a down payment. It is a guarantee. So when somebody comes to faith, they confess their sin and ask Jesus Christ into their life, and they're reconciled to the Father, the Holy Spirit comes into your life and takes up residency in your heart. And when he takes up residency in your heart, he is there as God lives in you. It's a down payment on what you can experience for all eternity, that you will be able to spend eternity with God. And right now, he's put the Holy Spirit in your life to lead, guide, and direct you and I as we are followers of Jesus Christ and forgiven for our sin. And we have become redeemed by Jesus Christ. He bought us back. reconciled us with God, and now we can live our lives to glorify Him. Listen, if you're watching this video and you've never come to faith in Jesus Christ and been reconciled to the Father, I want to encourage you. I'd love to have the influence in your life to say, dear sir, dear ma'am, dear young person, just talk to God and ask Jesus to forgive you. Ask Him to come into your life. Let the Holy Spirit become that down payment in your life for what you have for eternity, and be reconciled to the Father God and communicate with Him and live for Him. Listen, I want to thank you for watching tonight's lesson, and I hope and pray it was a blessing to you. Remember, be careful. The principle of Scripture, the things you think about are the things you desire. The things you desire are the things you accumulate. Make sure what we're accumulating, what we're desiring, and what we're thinking are focused on the kingdom of God and not on ours. All right, let's go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you for this great lesson tonight. Thank you for the Scriptures and how they can teach us. God, I ask that you would just work in our hearts and lives as we continue to live for you and grow in you. If there's someone watching this video this evening that has never come to faith in Jesus Christ and the cross of Calvary and what He did with paying for our sins, God, I pray that tonight you would work in their hearts and they would come and talk to you about it. God, just be with us. Guide and direct us. Watch over us. Keep us safe. As we go this week, keep us in peace. But help us to have boldness to give an answer to anybody who might have question about the Word of God or our relationship with God. And help us to be bold in sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. We pray all this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Well, listen, you have a great week this week, and we'll catch you next week.